Hey. Welcome to Fresh Reading. I am sure you have noticed from previous episodes that this summer we are experimenting with what we call summer shorts, which is really a series of short videos zooming in on a key concept from the first reading passage of the lectionary that week. And so if you're listening to this episode on audio, I'm happy to share that you can also watch me through our YouTube channel. Now, our first reading passages for July 7th are 2 Samuel 5, 1 through 5, and then we take a hoop, 9 through 10, and then we also have Psalm 48. I'm going to choose to stick with Psalm 48 because lately I have been thinking very hard about things like military power and concepts of defense and warfare, and I think this passage does a really good job of bringing those ideas into conversation with the art and act of praise. But I also encourage preachers to take a look at 2 Samuel and see what you might be able to make out of that in a preaching context. So what is Psalm 48 about? That's a really good question. Psalm 48 is truly a psalm of praise for God's work of defense, of protection, of safety, for or off the holy city of God, which is Zion. Right? So if you read it, you know, the concept of Zion and the idea of Jerusalem repeats very often. Now, although no particular event is referenced, the language of defense, along with concepts of protection and safety, I would argue strongly imply a context of chaos, of warfare, of plunder, of forceful deportation, maybe. And I can guess so because those were frequent in the world assumed here in the text, right? Note the reaction of the assembly of the kings in verse 4. Presumably, they had come as enemies seeking to bully God's people, but on arrival, they were astounded by the fortitude of Zion, the holy city of God. Verses 5 through 6 of the psalm actually says that they panicked, trembling took hold of them. They took flight, and they experienced pains as severe as a woman's labor, or as strong as when an east wind shatters the ships or ships from Tarshish. God himself had established Zion so firm and so strong that her enemies could not stand up against it. And for that matter, God's people said praise. Hallelujah. Now, permit me to say one more thing about defense and warfare and plunder, because I think it's helpful for understanding the preaching tip that I will offer later on in this episode. Here's what I have to say. The Hebrew for establish in verse 8, as we see in NRSV, is kunin. It primarily means to make firm. But in my reading, it refers to a concept of making firm militarily, that is, in a military fashion, right? And how do I know that? That's a good question also. Notice the aspect of the city that God establishes in verse 12. It is the tower, the walls, the citadels, the ramparts, you know, all of which are the primary defense structures of every city. And I can go on and on talking about military defense in other praise psalms, but I need to bring you a preaching tip, so here is it. Now, I want to draw your attention to how praise is framed in the passage. In verse 9, God's name and God's praise are closely linked in that as God's people praise according to the passage, God's name along with that praise reaches to the ends of the earth. That is also to say that praise by God's people establishes God's fame, God's memory, and God's identity among God's people and among all people on the earth. Now, this fame of God spread through the popularity of his name isn't as toxic as the word fame often connotes. Rather, as this passage expounds, it inspires worship of God among God's people, including the next generation, as is referenced, I think, in 14, while also spreading knowledge of God among all people. Praise, therefore, is characterized by memory and knowledge of God's self. What I found profound here is that this passage challenges us to rethink the meaning of the act of praise as a means of deepening our memory of God's work among God's people, while also extending knowledge of God's presence to the next generation. And you probably may hear it in the background, but I'm a new parent, and as a new parent, I've been thinking a lot about extending knowledge of our faith in God onto the next generation, onto our little girl. And I think that this passage gives me relief because it allows us to consider that one way of extending this knowledge of our relationship and faith in God is through praise, where we affirm God's work among us and extend knowledge of his presence among the next generation. And so I will encourage preachers to think carefully about the relationship between praise and memory as well as knowledge, and to explore that as a way of extending the boundaries of the meaning of praise in this passage. And I think that's all I have to offer. We'll see you in the next episode. Happy preaching, everybody.